Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
All right, saving repentance is the title of the message from Mark chapter 1 and verse 15 will be our text verse. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, the Word of God says, well, actually, let me read verse 14 just to kind of set the context. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So we're going to preach this evening on saving repentance. This morning we talked about saving faith. This evening, saving repentance. This will conclude our evangelism series, and then after that we will we'll have our Christmas messages, and then we'll start the new year with a book study, probably going into 1 Corinthians. That should be fun. A lot of interesting things to go through there. But saving repentance. So let's pray, and then I'll read those verses again. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. I do pray you'd forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me strength. We pray you'll bless all those who are sick this evening, all those who couldn't be here for whatever reason. We pray you bless them and bring them to your house. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Saving repentance. By way of introduction this evening, we're going to look at a question, and that question is, must a person repent in order to be saved? Must a person repent in order to be saved? And I think a better question to ask would be, could a person be saved without repenting? Could a person be saved without repenting? Now, the first thing that we have to look at when examining this is, what do we mean by saved? We talk a lot about being saved, but what do we mean when we say saved? In theology, salvation speaks of the believer's past, his present, and his future. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I have been saved from the power of sin. I am being saved from the practice of sin, and one day I will be saved from the presence of sin. And understanding that salvation pertains to the believer's past, present, and future can help you in some confusing verses in the Bible that mention salvation. You have to determine what it's talking about. Within the general doctrine of salvation, or soteriology, as the theologians like to call it, we find faith, justification, repentance, glorification, and a host of other doctrines that we won't talk about tonight, or we'd be here all evening. In fact, I was going to talk about a lot more tonight, and I figured that we'd be here all evening, so I shortened it down considerably. But the first thing that we want to see tonight, understanding that salvation is viewed as something that's happened in the past, something that is happening in the present, and something that will happen in the future, the first thing we want to look at is that salvation is by faith alone. Salvation is by faith alone. When most Christians speak of being saved, they are typically talking about an event that took place in the past that includes regeneration, or being born again, justification, and receiving the gift of eternal life. If I ask somebody, when were you saved? They're going to say, well, I was saved when I was 12 years old or 18 years old, and they'll give me a testimony and tell me about when they were saved. And by being saved, they typically mean they were saved from hell. They received eternal life. They received Jesus as their Savior. And typically, we talk about salvation as including regeneration, being born again, justification, and receiving the gift of eternal life. Now, understanding these things, we're going to look at all these things and see that they all come through faith in Jesus Christ. The Protestant reformers held to a belief called sola fide, or faith alone. Baptists have traditionally held to this teaching as well because it is biblical. Faith alone, salvation by faith alone. So looking at the three things we mentioned that we typically think about when we say I'm saved, we'll see that they're by faith alone. Number one, justification is by faith alone. The Bible is very plain about the fact that a person is justified or declared righteous in the sight of God by faith alone. For instance, Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Again, Romans 3:28. "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Justification is by faith and faith alone, not by faith and the deeds of the law. Galatians 2:16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Justification is by faith alone. Now also, when we talk about salvation, we talk about having eternal life. And eternal life is by faith alone. In a similar way, eternal life is promised solely on the condition of faith in Jesus Christ. For instance, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We get everlasting life simply by believing in Jesus Christ, faith alone. John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." There we see again, you hear the word and you believe it. That's faith alone, sola fide. Now, likewise, not only is justification by faith alone, eternal life by faith alone, but regeneration is by faith alone, being born again. We are born again by faith alone. Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus in John 3:7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Then the Lord explained to Nicodemus that the way to be born again was to believe in him. John 3:15 through 18. So we've seen that salvation is by faith alone. And all the things we usually talk about when somebody says, "Are you saved?" "Yes, I've been saved." Justification, being born again, having eternal life, all of those things we've seen biblically, we receive by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Now, not only is by salvation by faith alone, but faith, number two, faith is alone, but it's never without repentance. Faith is alone, but it's never without repentance. The one thing a person must do to be saved is to believe in Christ. The Word of God says in Acts 16:29 through 31, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas." This is the jailer, of course. Paul and Silas were locked up in jail, and the Lord moved in the place. The jailer comes, falls down before them and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." It's important to understand that we are not saved by faith plus repentance. When the jailer asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul did not say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and you shall be saved. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. By the way, a guy posted that on Facebook the other day and a few more comments, and he got blasted. He was a preacher. He had other Christians just blasting him. They said, you can't just tell people to believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. You need to tell them to do this, 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 and this. And it's insane that when we ask a theologian what we need to do to be saved, he'll list five or six different things. And if you ask the Bible, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Perhaps we've gotten smarter than God. Probably not. But at any rate, just as certain as it is that we are born again by faith, we are never born again without repentance. Our message should be the same as the Apostle Paul's, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21. Faith and repentance are like two sides of the same coin. They are always together. When one speaks of faith, repentance is implied, just as when one speaks of marriage, it is understood and implied that there must be love, at least most of the time. There doesn't have to be love. I mean, I was just shocked that she married me when we got married.
Me too.
Oh, that's lovely.
But it is usually understood that when we speak of marriage, that it's understood and implied that there must be love. And I love my wife a lot more today than when we first got married. Yeah. Because like I said, I had no idea she was actually going to say I do. Like when we stood there and she said, I do, I thought she means this. The word repent is not mentioned anywhere in the Gospel of John. You may not know that, but the Gospel, typically when we look at a particular book of the Bible to print, to hand out as an evangelistic book, we usually pick, as far as the Gospels are concerned, the Gospel of John. It's the great evangelistic book. In fact, John says specifically that he wrote what he wrote, all the miracles and the things he wrote, that people might believe on the name of the Son of God. That's what it was written for. But the word repent is not mentioned anywhere in the Gospel of John, but faith is spoken of nearly 100 times. Repentance is implied in John's Gospel, however, and understood in saving faith. For instance, if I were to say, I am flying to London, England, one would have to assume that I am also leaving my home and going to the airport. It's not necessary for me to say I'm leaving Dalton and going to London. It's only necessary for me to tell you where I'm flying, and the leaving is implied. In other words, you got to leave. If I say I'm going to Atlanta, the moment I start on my way to Atlanta, I'm leaving Dalton. Everybody see that? John 3:16 tells me that I'm saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ. But verses 19 and 20 tell me that the reason people do not come to Christ for salvation is because they love darkness and sin and hate the light. Surely it's understood then that a person who believes in Jesus Christ has had a change of mind, a turning of the heart away from the darkness of sin, and shows by believing that he has repented. As Dr. John R. Reich wrote in his tract, What Must I Do to Be Saved? Well, it's not really a tract. He said it was a tract, but it's really a little book. It's the thickest tract you'll ever see. But at any rate, as he said in What Must I Do to Be Saved, we must not make salvation a difficult matter. There is one simple step between us and Jesus. When we trust Him, everything else is settled. We have repented and come to Christ. When we have received Him, we have done everything necessary in order to be saved. Take the answer in Acts 16:31 at face value. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen. Don't make it complicated.
That's right. It's simple. Don't make it complicated. Saving repentance, then, is something that always comes with faith. Jesus Christ preached, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Mark 1:15, our text verse. So we have seen that salvation is by faith alone. Faith is alone, but never without repentance. And number three, saving repentance is a work of God. Saving repentance is a work of God. Man cannot create this kind of saving repentance. It's not something that we can become sorry enough for or turn from enough sins to produce. It is a miraculous work of God. Repentance is God's gift to men. Acts 11:18, when they heard these things, this is the Jews, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Who gives repentance? God. Who grants it? God. Acts 5:29 through 31, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Where does repentance come from? God. It's a gift of God. God gives repentance to the Jews. God gives repentance to the Gentiles. It is his gift. Ephesians 2:8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now remember, salvation here includes justification, regeneration. It includes repentance. It includes faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's access through faith, and that not of yourselves. None of it is of you. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so salvation is not of works, and repentance is a gift of God. And I think I'll close. I'm going to look. I don't have this on the screen, but I'm just going to close with this verse from Jonah, from the prophet Jonah. So, I want you to notice what happens in Jonah chapter 3. Now, Jonah has been swallowed by the big fish, and he gives the fish a stomachache, and the fish spits him out. Jonah was a disobedient prophet. He tried to go the opposite way of Nineveh, and the sailors on the ship that he sails the opposite way with, they cast him off the ship into the sea. The fish swallows him, and now the fish spits him out in chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That must have been a pretty incredible message. Jonah must have, he was probably covered in seaweed, nasty, probably smelled terrible. He comes into town, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So what's the first thing the people do in verse 5? So the people of Nineveh believed God. First thing they had was faith. Jonah preached the message, and the first thing they had was faith. The people of Nineveh believed God. And they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And when the government gets right with God, you know you've had a revival. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. So, now when the Bible says there, understand, repentance means to have a change of mind. When the Bible says there that God repented, God doesn't actually change. But when man changes, the way theologians usually explain that is when man turns, it appears that God is changing because God was going to destroy them and then he doesn't destroy them. But he actually, God does not change, man changes. But the Bible, to help us understand it, says God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them and he did it not. But that's not the point of this. That's a whole nother study on the repentance of God. But the point of this is, look in verse 10. God saw their, does anybody have it? Works. All right, now somebody tell me, are we saved by good works?
No, they already received the faith, now they're good
works. Yes. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Now, most people want to put the cart before the horse, especially in the North Georgia. And they want to say, well, once you get ready, you give up this and quit this and quit that, and then God will save you. And that's not the way it works. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, God saves you, and he changes you from the inside out. But faith always comes with repentance, and that's what happened here. These people believed God, first thing they did, and immediately flowing from them believing in God, they repent. They obviously had a change of mind. They start turning from their sins. They turn from their evil ways. They do good works. That's exactly what the Bible says in our scripture in Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And indeed, that's what Martin Luther's quote about faith was saying this morning, is that good works flow from faith. You start with faith in Jesus Christ, and this changed life, the good works, all of that flow from faith. So faith, we are saved by faith alone, but we are never saved without repentance. In other words, if you've truly been born again, there will be repentance. That's just the way it is. And that concludes our message tonight.